surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. Tuesday. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
I'm Mark Harmon. He's Jared Payton. He's Adam Hoge. Pleased to bring in a local product, Prospect High School, now trying to make his way to the NBA, a winding path. Jimmy Gavin is in our All-State Showcase studio. Jimmy, good afternoon. Thanks for coming on down.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
It is most definitely our pleasure. You, sir, played no high school basketball, and somehow, some way, you're on the verge of hopefully at least creeping some NBA preseason games, and maybe you can just find your way onto a roster. You played as a freshman in high school, then you found out you had Crohn's disease, you lost weight, you didn't play the rest of high school. You can kind of jump on from there. Like, how did you sort of be able to wind your way into college hoop, and now you're sitting here today?
Yeah, like you said, I'm definitely trying to knock at the door of the NBA here. But back in high school, I had played my freshman season and started to get sick. I was diagnosed, like you said, my sophomore year. And it just had taken a toll on my body and had kept me out of participating. So it was definitely a difficult time for me.
So you ended up going to Mississippi State, correct? Just as a regular student?
Yes, I did.
Did you have aspirations of walking on there? Or did you? What led you to Mississippi State?
I had chosen Mississippi State. I had had a family friend who was down there, and I really just wanted to go to Mississippi State to get a fresh start. I didn't have basketball on my mind. I still loved the game, but not being able to play in high school definitely hurt me so much that home started to represent where things had went wrong for me. And I felt like if I could just get down to Mississippi State, even though I wasn't playing basketball, I would have a chance just to kind of, you know, start fresh.
I'm taken back just a little bit because I know how hard it is to get a scholarship, right? And to see your path and how you've done it is just phenomenal to me. When you look at this opportunity that you have right now with people just at home, now you talked about home kind of being, you know, iffy, but now you have people here at home that are cheering for you. You got a dude sitting next to you, me, who's a huge fan now and be watching everything that you do. How does it feel now to have kind of the city behind you, where you came from behind you?
It feels incredible. Like it's a dream come true. And I mean, my family is so important to me, and they're proud of me, and I wouldn't be here without their support, you know? And the fact that now people are, you know, learning about my story and, you know, just the work that I've put in, and, you know, if they take inspiration from it, you know, to reach their own dreams or, you know, to take a risk, like, that's something I'm very proud of.
So I know you train, and you're training. I want to know what a day like of training is for you. Is it all day? Are you in the gym all day long most of the time?
Yeah, right now I'm actually working out with NBA skills coach Jeff Pagliacca out in Buffalo Grove. So I normally start my day, you know, with him. We get in skill work, get shots up. I've been working on different things, just reads that I would make as an NBA point guard, pick and roll. And then I head up over to EFT, which is Speed and Strength out in Deerfield, and, you know, working out with them. Just build a foundation of strength. You know, the NBA is obviously an 82-game season with best players in the world, great athletes. And, you know, having to have this chance with pre-draft workouts over the next month, I know that I'm going to have to make a strong impression to have a chance. And, you know, that's why I'm working hard every day.
Jimmy Gavin here in studio with us on The Beat here on 720 WGN, an incredible story, trying to make it to the NBA. And let's go back to, so you're at Mississippi State, and then obviously it's a big life moment for you when you find out your brother passed away, right? And tell me a little bit about what happened there in that moment in your life and how it led you back to getting to play basketball.
Okay, so it was my first year away from home. I'm a freshman in college at Mississippi State. My brother was 16 years old at the time, Jack, and I was actually sitting in English class when I had received a couple texts and phone calls from my parents, which was unusual. Seeing it was an 8 a.m. course, they know I'm in class, and so, you know, they obviously always respect that. I step into the hall, and that's when I called my dad back, and it's obviously a phone call that changed my life and one I'll never forget. He had told me that Jack was involved in a car accident, and, you know, he didn't make it. And when he told me those words, my whole world stopped. And I went home. I gave the eulogy at my brother's funeral. I did everything I could to be there for my family. And of course, they did everything they could to be there for me. And that's really how we, supported each other. And the next fall is when I actually withdrew from school and spent some time at home. I really had to give myself a chance to grieve. I tried to be there for others, but I wasn't there for myself yet. And through that process is when I really started to process how much it hurt me to lose the game of basketball. I think before, I didn't even want to go there because it felt like the game was gone. And once I started to process everything, I was like, wow, like, I asked myself all these questions and I literally wrote it down on a sheet of paper, and I remember the moment because it was influential in my life. And I asked different questions about, you know, what are people going to think if I have these goals and dreams? Are they going to think they're silly? Are they going to think they're far-fetched? And the last question I ended up asking myself was, well, what if I'm the only one in my way? And since that moment, I made a promise to myself that I'm going to try to stay out of my own way, and I'm going to do everything I can to knock on every door, you know, and just try to make it happen.
Well, and what you're saying, I think, resonates with a ton of people, if at least it should. First of all, we're all, I think, at the end of the day, in our own way. I mean, you're up against yourself, man. Like, I mean, what you're speaking is the truth there. And also, what you're talking about, grieving, I think a lot of people who have tragedies, you know, they're trying to help out their family members and be them, but you're not there for yourself. I mean, I can relate to that. I'm sure that Adam can as well. So whatever growth work, whatever you're doing over there to get yourself to this point, it's impressive. I mean, over the top. So, I mean, you're a guy, I hope you make it to the NBA, but whatever you're going to do, I would bet on you to do well. I mean, so I hope you have that confidence in yourself. Clearly you do.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I see that all day. But on a much lighter note, I mean, you averaged 19 a game. You shot 41 from three. You're talking about last season,
yeah, right?
At Winthrop, your one season, you were the captain of the team. You were, what, 6'3"?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we were a little bit behind you here because Charlie Clifford, who used to intern here, he texted
me,
"Hey, you should have Jimmy on." So, and then we do the research, and Bob Narang, who I actually used to work with out in DeKalb a long time ago, who's been covering for the Tribune, he used to work for the DeKalb Daily Chronicle. He has this whole piece on you. So, I mean, it's been out there. We're kind of sleeping on you, but it seems like you're building some momentum here. Perhaps that people want good people around. They want good teammates. I like your chances here, Jimmy. I'm feeling something positive coming.
No, I appreciate that a lot. We take basketball very seriously. Like, it's just, we love the game. Like, even, you know, my friends, we just say, like, you know, b-ball crazy. Like, we just love it. And but it's something that's important to me, that, like, you don't make the NBA because you just have a good story. You make it because you're an NBA player, and you have to make it on merit. And so, obviously, it's about basketball. It's about putting the work in. And it's definitely something I value, though, bringing positive energy to a franchise. I think, you know, that's very important.
I hear that through the grapevine here that you were at Dan Pohman's Swag Air basketball exposure event, and you gave a talk to the kids there. What was your message for the youth?
Dan, he's a good friend of mine, and it's amazing. Like, it's just another guy who's trying to do something positive in Chicago, and he's really about the kids. You know, same with my, you know, friend Jelani Floyd, who is, you know, a great friend of mine. He had connected me to Dan originally. And at that showcase, what I told the kids is that, you know, some of the kids are unsigned right now. It's late in the process, and, you know, they might be thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a scholarship. I don't know. And I told them, hey, man, you're way ahead of where I was. I hadn't even played a game yet. So if you love the game, let's break down, think about a strategy on how we can get to where we want to be. And you got to put the work in, you know. You got to delay the gratification, delay the hype, and really become what you want to be.
Be great over there. Come on.
Listen, you guys know me. This is what you're talking about every day. This is what I do, man. I sit and I speak to people, to companies, businesses, and everything that you're talking about. To see you this far ahead in the game by how you think, it's impressive to me, because, guys, to go through certain things, as you were sitting here telling your story, it's pretty similar to, you know, when you got that phone call. I was getting, we didn't have text messages back in the day, but I got the phone call of someone coming to get me, telling me I had to go home because my dad was passing away. So, you know, being and playing sports and all that stuff, it just brought me back to those memories. And I had that same problem of figuring out trying how to grieve and keep playing the sport that I love so much and give it time. And it was one of the hardest things. And to hear you talk about it, just promise me this, whatever you do, whether you make it, please, I need you to write a book, man, because your story, people need to be able to hear your story. And not just on a 5 minutes on a radio show. You need to get down and dirty with it because your story is inspiring. You make me right now want to go do something. Like, I have a great TV show to go do, and I want to go run a hill somewhere.
Yeah, you should skip the TV. Go to the hill. Yeah.
No, first of all, I really appreciate the words. And, you know, it's an honor that you compared me, you know, to your situation and your family. Obviously, it's someone that, you know, like my father has always, you know, looked at as and admired. And, you know, someone I had learned a lot about with work ethic, too. Yeah. And, you know, but like you said, you know, if or when, like, you know, I always think you need to speak with intention. And, you know, this is my dream. I see myself as an NBA player, and I want to keep progressing as a basketball player. So it's not about if it's going to happen, it's when. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to keep chipping away, you know, at people's perceptions. I think it's unbelievable for people to try to understand that a kid can go from not playing high school basketball to Division II to Division I to the game's biggest stage. But that's what I see. That's my vision. And, you know, I'm going to keep fighting for it, whatever it takes.
Jimmy Gavin right here in studio with us.
That's intention is so big, man. It's just so you intend to be there. You got a huge, huge uplift in a chance of doing
taking
it.
Taking no, if when people say no, you can't listen to that. You got to be able to use that as motivation.
And to have the belief.
And Jimmy, we got to take a break, but stay right there because I have more questions for you along those lines because I used to cover college basketball. And I know it can have been easy to say, hey, I haven't played basketball in 3-4 years or whatever it's been. And hey, can I just walk on here and get going again? So I want to ask you about that. Jimmy Gavin right here in studio with us, 720 WGM. We'll be right back. This is The Beat. We're keeping the conversation with Jimmy going here during the break. Jimmy Gavin in studio trying to make the NBA after a long, crazy road that not too many NBA players certainly go on. And what I want to get back to is, so you make the decision, hey, I want to get back into basketball. But I think then the question is, when you're already in college at that point, you didn't play varsity basketball in high school, how the heck do you do that? And so you walk on at Bradley, correct? How did you even – because I know from covering the game, there's plenty of basketball guys on every campus everywhere who think they can play the game at that level. And I'm sure coaches all the time get requests, hey, can I come try out? Can I come do – so how did that all come together?
It was a process. Steve Pratt up at Full Package Athletics was a big help in that process. I had begun working out by myself, but man, I called a lot of coaches. I would ask, hey, can I come play open gym with you and your guys? No, I don't think we need you to come today. You know, I had a lot of unreturned phone calls and things like that, but. I think one of the most important factors was I also knocked on a lot of doors. I did a lot of things that, you know, people probably wouldn't be willing to do. One interesting story to kind of paint the picture of how that process went. I had taken a mega bus taken a train to a mega bus to Indianapolis to work out at a high school. Okay. Because, you know, Coach Mitchell was over there. And I was just like, hey, you know, let me come play open gym with your guys. And he was great. And he, because I was just trying to just, I needed people to see me. And so I was just trying to just find any possible avenue. So I had ended up getting a tryout at Bradley. And it went well. And they gave me a roster spot on the team. But after that first season, that's when I really started to see that college basketball, it's bigger than just, hey, come on the team and play and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. And I made the decision to transfer. And that's when Coach Regal had actually offered me my first full scholarship and only full scholarship to Wisconsin Parkside. And that was a huge moment in my life.
So then that's D2, right? And you played 2 years there and you scored over 1,000 points. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. You know, NCAA Division II and Wisconsin Parkside is actually up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And like we were talking about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, solid players, great competition.
I mean, I've done play-by-play on the D2 level, and people just don't realize how much talent is out there. Yeah. You transfer. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's scoring 1,000 there. Well, he couldn't do it at D1. Well, he goes to D1, and you're top 60 in the country scoring at just under 19 a game. There's actually a kid who I think you might know, Max Struess, who's going from Lewis D2 to DePaul next year. Blue Demons fans might be interested in his ability to do to contribute to Paul could use some help. The talent level, I mean, how big of a discrepancy would you say it is?
There's so many great players on every level. I don't know. I think that it all depends on the individual. I think, you know, the pressure probably rises a little bit the higher you go, and, you know, the intensity and you know, different things around the game. But at the end of the day, it's still basketball. And if you see yourself, you know, competing at that level, then, you know, you got to go out and prove it. But yeah, Max is actually a friend of mine, someone I have competed against. And, you know, the Blue Demons fans, they're getting a heck of a player. He's a, you know, a really good athlete, and I'm excited to see what he does.
Now, we were talking before we came back on the air, and you mentioned that when you graduate from Parkside and you still have eligibility to make the decision, hey, as a grad transfer, I can go play at the D1 level. You mentioned that over 50 schools showed interest in you. That's incredible. How did you settle on Winthrop?
And it was a very difficult decision. Obviously I've been, you know, working towards the NBA as, you know, kind of like my silent goal, but I'm a very loyal person, and had Coach Regal giving me that opportunity, it was very difficult to leave, but once I did make that decision that, you know, I had to do it, it was in my best interest. I settled on Winthrop. I had built a relationship with, you know, Coach Pat Kelsey and the rest of the staff, and it was somewhere where I felt like they were focused on basketball. You know, I had a great group of teammates returning, and I felt that we could make a run at a conference championship. And there was just a lot of different factors where, just basketball wise, it made sense. You know, I felt like I could keep progressing as a player and, you know, just keep chipping away at my dreams.
His name is Jimmy Gavin. Hopefully you're going to be hearing a whole lot more of that name coming forward. What are you hearing from the NBA folk?
I recently, you know, signed with BDA Sports to represent me through this process. And, you know, I think that you got to be patient. You know, when anyone else might start to get frustrated, that's the most important time to demonstrate patience. And I think, you know, I'm going to have to prove myself one day at a time. I think this period with my trainers has been very important, you know, building a foundation for this summer. And I'm just going to have to go in and just make an impression on these people that I can really help their franchise win games. And, you know, my skill set, playing pick and roll, shooting the three, creating for other players and, you know, defending my position. I believe in my process. And it's just all about continuing to prove that you can do it at that level, that intensity, that pressure. And, you know, each chance that someone gives me, you know, I'm going to try to take full advantage of it.
Well, it sounds like you've been in this situation before. Like you said, knocking on the doors, you got to get people's eyes on you, right? So how do you do that right now? Pro days or workouts?
Yeah. Actually, at the end of this month, May 26th, I have a pro day through BDA, which will be in Los Angeles. I'll be going out there next Monday. We're going to spend some time, a few days in Santa Barbara training. And I think actually all 30 teams will have representatives there.
Cool.
I know Pat Riley and Jerry West and, you know, different executives have been there in the past. And that'll be my first day. I have some teams who are interested in bringing me in for the private group workouts. But, I mean, slowly but surely, you know, like you said, I've been here before. I've been doubted. I was told I wouldn't play college basketball, told I wouldn't receive a scholarship. And the same means that got me there, I'm going to stick with that. I'm not going to switch up. No attention can change the work it takes. There's no escaping the hard work it takes to continue to get better.
Who do you imitate the most? Who's your guy?
I mean, the comparison that people have been using is Goran Dragic, left-handed point guard for the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. He's been doing well in the playoffs. But, you know, hopefully, you know, one day I'll be able to make a name for myself, and, you know, kids can look at me and say, oh, because he made it to the NBA, you know, that's the player I want to be like.
Bulls could use a backup point guard.
Well, we certainly hope that happens. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming in here. Phenomenal story. We'll be rooting for you. And good luck, I guess, in the next couple weeks.
Thanks
in
for
LA.
The inspiration. That was that was great for all of us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and speak. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to meet you guys.
Jimmy Gavin, right here with us here on 720 WGN.